Chapter 1. The word no is a gift not only to yourself, but also to others. Leontine Leo Dennison grimaced. Yeah, of all the rules that governed her life, she had the damnedest time following that one. Hence the reason she sat parked outside the house of Rose Ben's newest resident and town recluse, stalling.
What the hell?
She muttered. After pushing open her car door with more force than necessary, she stepped out. She didn't stall, didn't hesitate. Leo Dennison made decisions, then executed them with confidence. Apparently, she spoke about herself in the third person, too. Shit. It had to be Mo's breaking her ankle that had Leo so indecisive and weak. Yes, weak. Because nothing else could describe this uncharacteristic uncertainty. But damn, it wasn't every day she saw seemingly indomitable Lucille Mo Dennison, matriarch of the Dennison clan, and her mother as mortal. Okay, fine. To some, a broken ankle might seem small in the grand scheme of calamities that could befall a person. But to see the woman who epitomized formidability suddenly looking so fragile, her face taut with pain, eyes glassy with the effort to hold back the tears she knew would upset her kids. Leo's chest seized, and she lifted a palm to rub the suddenly tight, burning spot. True, the injury might only require a cast, crutches, elevation, and several weeks of healing. But the memory would leave its mark on Leo long after her mother ditched her crutches. Which also explained why Leo stood on the curb outside this regal slate-blue Victorian that sat on the edge of town like an elegant but judgmental spinster. Perched on a small rise, a ways from the rest of the neighborhood, it was a grand old lady, three imposing stories, and a steep gabled roof, rounded turrets, pointed towers, dark bay windows, white shutters, a wraparound porch, and decorative trim. From the gossip Leo had heard about the house's reclusive tenant, some kind of football or basketball or baseball player, hell, one ball looked like another to her, the house and the temporary owner had a lot in common. They both screamed, "Get off my lawn." Only the love of a daughter for her injured mother could have Leo here, braving this obvious no man's land. Well, love and pride. God knew she had her fair share. And according to the Bible, her ex-boyfriend loved to thump and quote, that same God didn't look too kindly on it either. Still, pride wouldn't permit her to return home without bagging this celebrity as the newest judge for the wildly popular chili contest in Rose Bend's annual spring honeybee festival, especially since she'd taken Mo's place on the festival committee. Approaching the reluctant ball player was her first assignment. She had to acquire his agreement. Failure was not an option or in her vocabulary. Failure is impossible. Another of the rules she lived by. All right, fine. So Susan B. Anthony said it first, but still, Leo claimed it, so that made it hers. Rolling her shoulders back, she hiked up her chin, repeated the mantra in her head, and marched up the front walk bordered by a tidy lawn. Having spent most of her life at Kinsale Inn, first observing and then working alongside her parents, she noticed the little things about the stately home whose dark blue steps she climbed. Though the porch and its white columns and railings were immaculate, no rocking chairs with cushions slightly worn from sitting occupied the vast space. No wooden swings swayed in the early afternoon breeze. No small tables claimed the corners. No lush green plants were tucked under the windows. If she had to conjure up a word to describe the place, it would be lonely. The place was lonely. She fought the urge to rub her chest again. Her mind argued that, coming from her large, boisterous, nosy, and loving family, there was no way she could understand the empty ache of loneliness. Yet her heart, the heart of the girl who'd faded into the shadow of her more brilliant, vibrant siblings, told her brain it had no idea what it was talking about. Come on, girl. The town hermit's porch is not the place for a counseling session, she muttered to herself, shoving aside the guilt at her uncomfortable thoughts. She came from a home with adoring parents, and sometimes pains in the ass, but for the most part, wonderful brothers.